Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, for to you is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What a joy it is to welcome you to Parkwood Presbyterian Church on this Christmas morning. We gather this morning to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the incarnation, the Word become flesh and living among us. If you're a visitor, we extend a special welcome to you and invite you back. Next Sunday, we will again worship at 10 a.m., a little bit later than normal. It will be a service of morning prayer. And every other Sunday throughout the year, we worship at 9:30. I have one addition to the bulletin. We will be singing a hymn between the call to worship and the prayer of confession, and that will be hymn number 40, Joy to the World. Let us begin worship with prayer. God Most High, your only Son embraced the weakness of the flesh to give us power to become your children. Your eternal Word chose a dwelling among us that we might live in your presence. Grant us a spirit of wisdom to know how rich is the glory you have made our own, and how great the hope to which we have been called in Jesus Christ, your Word made flesh, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, in the splendor of eternal light, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Please join me in the call to worship. All God's people, boys and girls, women and men, come and worship. Shepherds, magi, saints, and angels, come and worship. Come and worship. All who need the Savior, all who long for comfort, come and worship. Come and worship Christ, the newborn King. And then we'll be singing hymn number 40, Joy to the World.
Thank you.
When Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, he became like us in all things but sin. May we who have been reborn in him be free from our sinful ways. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God of love, all year long, you power and might, yet you come weakness. All season long, you covet great material gifts, when you alone offer what is lasting. Through the word of this Lord Jesus, who comes among us full of grace and truth, forgive us, heal us, correct us, and open our lips, that we may sing your praise with angels, and remake our lives, that we may witness to your transforming love, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Joyous day of remembering Christ's birth. Let us greet one another and share the peace of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Mighty God, the shepherds of old were full of your praises, saying that all they had heard and seen was mirrored by what they had been told. Move among us now with your Holy Spirit, that we might too hear and experience the wonder and joy of the living word as we seek to welcome the written word into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Old Testament reading today is Isaiah 9, verse 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, for this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament reading this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 2, verses 10 through 18. You will find this on page 1089 of the Church Bibles. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And continuing in chapter 2, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself, likewise, shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is not your ordinary Christmas reading. The first part in chapter 1 is in the lectionary for Christmas Day, but when was the last time you heard Hebrews 2 at Christmas? I guess I chose it because it hasn't been your ordinary Christmas week. It's been a difficult time for us here at Parkwood. We had two funeral services here this week. We are still mourning the deaths of Jim Van Sweden and Dick Wienick. Not only has it been a time of grief, it has also been a very busy time. Most of us were here a little more than 12 hours ago at Christmas Eve. We talked last night about the ordinariness of Jesus' birth, that the meaning of Christmas is to be found in God coming to us, in Jesus Christ, instead of our needing to scratch and claw our way up to God. Whether we might do that through piety or through good works or attempts at social justice or any of the other ways that we might try to save ourselves. And that truly is the meaning of the incarnation. It is what sets Christianity apart from other religions. It's what gives us profound hope. When we feel like we can't ultimately rely on our own power to be the people that God wants us to be, or to do the things that we think God wants us to do. Knowing that we are not alone in it. Knowing that the Lord came to us, took on flesh, and lived among us. We are comforted. But it can be easy to focus so much on Jesus being human that we miss what he came to do. We might focus on the fact of the incarnation at the expense of its implications, or focus so much on our relationship with Christ as brother that we miss our relationship with Christ as Savior. It is a great comfort that Jesus, that God became human in Jesus Christ. Because of this, we know that he can identify with anything that we go through. As the Hebrews writer says in a later chapter, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin." But too often, we leave it there. Now, it's great not to feel alone in our grief. In fact, just being with someone is about the best thing that you can do for someone that you love when they are walking through a difficult and a painful time. Trust me, they don't want advice. They don't want pity. They most likely don't even want you to try to fix things for them. But most of all, they just don't want to be alone. And it is truly comforting to know that Jesus has been through what we go through. To know that he is there with us, that he can sympathize with us in our weakness, and that nothing can separate us from God's love in him. But all too often, we stop there. We miss the richness and the fullness of how Jesus came for us. Jesus came not only to be with us, but to rescue us. Look at all the things that the writer in Hebrews says that Jesus is and does, even in the short passage that I just read. He is the pioneer of our salvation, and he goes before us, creating a path. He is our sanctifier, so that through him we can stand in God's presence without being consumed. He is our champion, destroying through his death the devil, the one who has the power over death. He is our liberator, freeing us from slavery to the fear of death. He is our merciful and faithful high priest, offering a sacrifice of atonement for our sins. He is our representative before God. He is our advocate, interceding for us, able to help all those who are being tested. John Calvin captures some of this richness, describing the wonderful exchange that God has made with us in Christ. He says, "Becoming Son of Man with us, he has made us sons of God with him. That by his descent to earth, he has prepared an ascent to heaven for us. That by taking on our mortality, he has conferred his immortality on us. That accepting our weakness, he has strengthened us by his power. That receiving our poverty unto himself, he has transferred his wealth to us. That taking the weight of our iniquity upon himself, which oppressed us, he has clothed us with his righteousness." Sometimes we forget about all this when we focus only on his being human, being one of us, being with us. Now, celebrating communion at Christmas might be one practice that enriches our grip on the fullness of Christ, a practice that opens us up to a more abundant vision of the Lord and all that he does. I've heard people ask, "Why are we celebrating communion at Christmas? Christmas is such a happy time," they say. "And aren't we ruining that a little bit by focusing on the sadness of the crucifixion when we celebrate communion?" I think that's a limited view of the sacrament of communion. The Lord's Supper does indeed hearken back and proclaim the Lord's death. We hear those exact words every time that we celebrate it in the words of institution. But it is not only a memorial of the Lord's death. It is so much more. It is thanksgiving. The word Eucharist itself means thanksgiving. And thanksgiving should always be an occasion of joy. Even if it is subdued, if it's a deep joy, a deep comforting joy, instead of a giddy happiness. For hearing and seeing and smelling and tasting the great exchange of divinity and humanity for us in Christ ought to be and is an ongoing source of grateful rejoicing. And it is nourishment. Just as the reading and proclamation of the word is nourishment for our minds and our hearts and our souls, so too is the sacrament of communion. John Calvin, again, wrote that in the Lord's Supper we learn not only that the bread and the wine, the body and the blood are ours, but that they are for us life and nourishment. So when we see the bread set apart as the body of Christ, at once we must think of this simile. Just as bread nourishes, sustains, and preserves the life of our body, so the body of Christ is the food and preservation of our spiritual life. Or as St. Augustine writes in his book, The Confessions, hearing Christ saying to him, "I am the food of the mature. Grow then, and you will eat me. You will not change me into yourself like bodily food. You will be changed into me." And in this way, the sacrament is also a bridge. It is a bridge between the Creator and the creature, between divinity and humanity, between holiness and sin, between boundless life and inevitable death, gaps that can only be bridged from above. Christmas is about God becoming human, but God became human not so that God can learn about humanity, but so that we can be lifted into the presence of God, so that our humanity can gain the capacity to stand in God's holy presence without being consumed. This is what happens when we are united with Him in communion. So perhaps Christmas is a great time to celebrate communion, not because it's a beautiful time of year, not because it is a sentimental time, but because it is a time of year when so many people are hurting and trying to put on a good face. In the incarnation, celebrated at Christmas, though, we realize that we don't have to put on a good face. That Christ comes not only to be with us, but to rescue us and lifts us into the presence of God, healing us. This is what we celebrate when we celebrate communion. It is not just our memory of His death. It is a celebration of what Christ, it is a celebration of Christ Himself, of what He came to do, what He will do on the last day when He seats us at the table for the heavenly banquet, and what He does even now. In the Lord's Supper, we're lifted into His presence and we're equipped together as the body of Christ to represent Christ to others, to those who are hurting. Through communion with Him, we're given the gift of participating through the Holy Spirit in His communion with the Father, in mission to represent Christ and others, in mission from the Father to the world. He is not just our companion. He's not just someone who comes alongside us. He is the pioneer of our faith. He is the forerunner, the trailblazer. He is our sanctifier. He is our liberator. He is our great high priest. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm what we believe using the words of the Nicene Creed printed in the bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
In this holiday season, during a time of giving, let us not forget how much God has blessed us, and let us share what God has given us. May the ushers please come forward.
Thank you.
Dear God, receive our offering. Guide those who use it, that it may help to bring fullness of life to those who live in need and long for our care. Amen.
Please be seated. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If those who hear my voice open the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are all who find refuge in God." Elders and I will be serving communion this morning by passing the elements amongst you while you remain in your seats. Please hold the bread until everyone has been served so that we may partake of it together. Please drink the cup when you receive it, and there will be a basket that follows where you can place the empty cup into it. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, Creator and Ruler of the world. And your love remains steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and sent prophets to call us back to your way. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. In Him, your Word, dwelling with you from all eternity, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld your glory, Emmanuel. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever sing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Born in humility, he came to rule over all. Helpless as an infant, he showed the power of your love. Poor in things of the world, he brought the wealth of your grace. Rejected by many, he welcomed all who sought him. In his dying and rising, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us with a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Remembering these your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the whole world. Empower us by your Spirit, O God, to be Christ's presence in the world, even as Jesus was God with us. Give us courage to speak his truth, to seek his justice and to love with his love. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as children of God, let us pray the prayer that our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. St. Paul writes, "For what I received from the Lord, I also handed on to you." That on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup also and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The gifts of God for the people of God.